Bibles, turn with me in God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Of course, we partake in the Lord's Supper tonight, and that holds a special part in our hearts. And some of you might not understand what the Lord's Supper is. I'm going to do the best I can to explain it to you tonight. As we go through some of these verses tonight, of course, I'm going to preach just a little simple message, something that should speak to our hearts. But as we go through these verses tonight, we're going to speak about just a few of them, make a special insert about some of them tonight. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's look here if you would, in verse 23. Here the Apostle Paul is the penman for this. It says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." I find it interesting how Paul said, "For I have received, also I deliver." While Paul's received from the Lord, he's delivering unto us. It says in verse 24, "And when he had given thanks," speaking about Jesus, "he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." Tonight before us on this communion table, we have the unleavened bread. It's bread that will not rise. It's bread that has no leaven in it. Leaven in the New Testament is referred to sin, so we know Christ has no sin within him. And he said, this bread represents my body. And my body was broken, and my body was given to all that will partake. And he says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." We think about it as we take that little cracker, that little unleavened bread, and put it in our mouths, and how our teeth would just crunch and dissolve the piece of bread. We think about how fragile the Lord Jesus Christ's body was. On the cross of Calvary, he said his bone stares at him. He said that his body was just a piece of meat that's been battered and bruised. It says that he took this bread and broke it and gave it to him and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." If we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, we'll remember Christ. It says in verse 25, "After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my body. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." So not only do we partake of the bread, which represents his body, we partake of the cup, the fruit of the vine, which is in Matthew, my friend. It's not fermented juice. It's not in toxic beverage. It's not alcohol. It's not been fermented. It's pure grape juice. And it represents the blood of Jesus, how his blood was shed. And I make interesting note, it says in Matthew, he says, "Drink ye all of it." I believe every drop of his blood was shed so a sinner could be saved. It says in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." And my friend, we can partake of the Lord's Supper as much as you want. You can partake of the Lord's Supper every week if you wish. We know some churches that partake of the Lord's Supper once a year. And we try to do it here. We try to do it on a month that has five Sundays, and do it every fifth Sunday. But the Bible says that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we show the Lord's death till he comes. In other words, we remember what Christ has done for each and every one of us. It's more than just remembering what Christ has done for the world. It's just more than remembering what Christ has done for the lost. We have to remember tonight what Christ has done for you. How his body was broken for you. How his blood was shed for you. We've all heard this before. If everyone in the world was saved but just one person, I still believe Christ will come and give his body to be broken, give his blood to be shed, so that one person would have an opportunity to be saved. My friend, a person does not need to die and go to hell, because everyone has an opportunity to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The gospel is for the whole entire world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says, as often as you do this, you show the Lord's death till he comes. In verse 24, 27, the Bible says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I'll be the first to say within myself, I'm unworthy to participate in the Lord's Supper. In yourself tonight, you're unworthy to participate in the Lord's Supper. But because of Jesus Christ and because of His broken body and His shed blood and the redemption and salvation we have in Him, we're worthy to come to the Lord's table, partake of the Lord's Supper, have communion tonight because of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I'm not worthy within myself, but I've been placed into the body of Christ. I've been placed into the bride of Christ. I've been placed, my friend, into Christ's body, and the Holy Spirit has been placed into me. And because of the salvation that Jesus Christ gives, I'm worthy tonight to come and partake of the Lord's Supper. It says here, if you would, but let a man examine himself in verse 28. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Tonight we have a time to examine ourselves. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll have a time of prayer, and I'll have a silent prayer to ask God to bring back to my memory any sins I've committed that I have not confessed. And I encourage you to do the same thing. And if you're sincere with God, and God will bring back something to your heart or mind that you have not got right with God, you do your best to get it right with God tonight and promise that you'll never do it again. You'll forsake and run to the Savior. My friend, we need to examine ourselves. We're not worthy in ourselves, but we're worthy in Christ. But we need to examine ourselves to see if our heart is pure with Jesus tonight. It's a very serious matter. Notice what it says in verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, the Bible says this for us. If an unsaved person will partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, and I encourage everyone that's not saved, do not partake. Because he says if you do, it's like mocking the Lord. You partake in the Lord's body, you partake in of the fruit of the vine which represents his blood and the bread which represents his body, you partake of it and you're not saved, you're doing it unworthily, and you're just mocking the body and the blood of Jesus. And then, my friend, for us that are saved, after we examine ourselves, notice what it says in verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Because here in Apostle Paul's day, some was partaking of the Lord's Supper that was unworthy. Maybe they was not saved, or maybe they had known sin in their lives. They never got it right with God before they partake. He said, I want you to notice, some of you are weak because you partake of the Lord's Supper. Some of you are sickly. You're not well. We know a lady, I'm not going to tell her name. She's not here tonight. A few years ago when I first started pastoring, she partook of the Lord's Supper. And I don't know what was in her life, but from that night on, she'd been sick for months and months and months. And I've always wondered maybe if it's because she partook of the Lord's Supper and something wasn't right with her heart. Here the Bible says, because of this, there's many are weak and many are sickly among you and many sleep. God says it's so important that you keep your heart right with God when you partake of the Lord's Supper that if you don't take if you take it unworthily, He said you could be put to death from eating a little cracker and drinking a little swallow of juice. It's more than just a cracker and a juice. It's who it represents. It represents Christ tonight. He says, if you do it unworthily, you can be put to death. Not by the pastor, not by the church, but by God. But I want you to know tonight, if you're here tonight and you're saved, there's something a whole lot worse than death. Death for you and death for me is just entering into heaven. When I take my last breath, I go to glory. And there's no doubt about that. When I take my last breath, I see Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. But there's something that's worse than death for a Christian. That's living in this world out of the will of God with the chastening hand of God upon you. Notice what it says here, if you will, in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another.
And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Now ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Here you know what Apostle Paul said. He said, don't make a feast out of this. Me and my wife, we take it so seriously. You know what we do when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we might have a few extra cups left over. We don't pour them down the sink. We don't just throw them over our shoulder outside. We pour them back into the bottle that we poured out of. You say, that's ridiculous, but it's not. We don't come to church just to tarry and just to eat and just to have fellowship. We've got a fellowship hall for that. We come to this church to worship and praise God. And my friend, the Bible says here, when you come to the Lord's Supper, you do it with a pure heart. You do it with a remembrance on your mind of what Christ has done for us. And we'll talk more about this. I want you to notice verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I'm trying to preach just for a few minutes tonight. If we would judge ourselves. Let's pray together. Father, help us tonight as we take these few thoughts, apply them to our hearts and our life. Lord, get us ready not only for this Lord's Supper tonight, but for the day when we see Jesus Christ. Get us ready for that day when we have to stand before Christ and give an account of what we've done in this body, not for salvation, but for service. Help me. I need you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. What some things we should judge ourselves in? We take all of them out of this little book of Corinthians tonight. I believe the first thing we should judge ourselves in is the way we live. How do we live? Turn here, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 2 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. We should judge ourselves tonight that we be not judged. In other words, we should take inventory of ourselves. We should examine ourselves. We should put our own lives on a screen and display it in front of our eyes to see how we live. I believe that's the first thing we should judge, is how we live. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required as stewards that a man be found faithful. I wonder tonight, my friend, if we can say that we've been found faithful. I wonder tonight if my children can say, Daddy is faithful. I wonder tonight, my friend, as you heard my boy pray, maybe he says some of the same words that I say all the time. Maybe if you'll hang around my children, they have the same expression or they have the same talk or maybe say some of the same words that I've said. I've hung around Preacher Larry long enough to maybe incorporate some of the things that he has said into my preaching. I remember when I was growing up in this church here just 8 years ago, I remember Preacher Larry, he would stand behind his pulpit, he'd preach his heart out. Boy, he'd get red in the face, he'd get a little red dot right there between his eyes. And I would look at him preach, and he'd scream and shout. He'd say, hey, sink, swim, or drown, get fat, or die skinny, we're going on with the Lord. He'd say, hey, even if the stars fall, do right. I remember just some things that he used to say and have been sown into the fabric of my existence, my friend. Here, my friend, we have to judge ourselves. Are we living a faithful life? Are you living a faithful life tonight? Can your children or grandchildren look at you and say, Grandmama has been faithful to God. Grandpapa has been faithful to God. Or can they just say tonight, Grandmama and Granny is a casual Christian. They just do it when they want to. Well, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? Our parents, our children would say to the parents, Mom and Daddy serve the Lord when they want to, when it's convenient. I heard of a story about the preacher coming to a lady's house, and he was talking to her, she was talking to him, and she was trying to impress the preacher. So, Brother John, she told her little boy, Johnny, she said, Johnny, go get that big old black book that Mommy reads all the time. So Johnny went in her room and got the big old black book and brought it to her and said, here you go, Mommy. Here's the big old black book you read all the time. The preacher looked at it and said, hey, that's the Sears Roebuck catalog. The little boy said, that's the book Mommy reads all the time. I wonder what our children say about us. Do they ever see us sit down and read our Bibles? Do they ever see us kneel down and pray? Do our children ever see us reach into our pockets and pass out a gospel tract and witness to people? I don't remember where it was at. We were somewhere. We was in Tiffany's school years ago. Had open house. And we were standing in line waiting for everything to start. And I looked at Tim and I looked at my wife and I said, hey, let's start singing Victory in Jesus. I said, here's what we'll do. We'll sing it so loud that everybody in this building would have to listen to us. And I promise you, I was dead serious about what I said. We go to a restaurant. I reach in my pocket and pull out a gospel tract. You know what my wife says? Bless her heart. She says, wait till we get our food before you witness to them. Because I don't want anybody spitting in my food. So we wait till the service. We wait till we get our food. And we give the waitress a gospel tract and ask her if she's saved. Ask her if she goes to church anywhere. I'm talking about living faithful. Hey, I'm talking about not some kind of little blue brim Christian life with a little mouth. Hey, that's just feed on God on Sunday morning. Hey, I'm not talking about just to have a little blue brim mouth, my friend, that's just sucking up some of God's blessing. But I'm talking about being a large mouth bass where you open your mouth and gulp it all in. You want all of God, and you want God to have all of you. Here the Bible says it's counted. It's counted, my friend. It's required. It's counted that a man be found faithful. I wonder if we can say we're faithful tonight. I hope my children can say that about me. Some things we need to judge ourselves in tonight is how we live. How we live. I'm talking about where the rubber meets the road, friend. Well, I'm telling you, it's getting hard times for a lot of people. It's getting hard times for a lot of us. And the one thing that's been affected the most is our pocketbooks. Mine and your pocketbook is getting slim. Well, mine and your pocketbook is getting flat. But hey, where the rubber meets the road, are we going to be faithful to God when we don't see another way out? Are we going to be faithful to God when we don't know if we're going to have enough of gas to make it back and forth to work all week long? Are we going to be faithful to God? I'm just talking about the way we live. These young boys are growing up. I appreciate the young boys this morning. Boys are blessing my heart when they got up and come out of their house and they was getting on the white church van to come to church. And boy, they was dressed up. He was dressed up in a three-piece suit. They had the neckties on. They had their shoes shined. They had their clothes pressed. They was going to church. Boys are blessing to me. Boys getting ready to go to church. I believe they probably wore the best they had. Hope you wear the best you've got to church. But I'm talking about living a faithful life. Where would they be at tonight, my friend? Hey, if someone didn't care, if someone didn't give, if someone didn't have compassion, is willing to make a difference and go out and knock on doors and ask people to come to church, ask people to come to Vacation Bible School. The Lord put one person in our heart. Through another person, we got another child. In fact, we go back. We might not get all these points tonight. It'll be all right. Someone come and told my wife, I know where some children is. They lived out there. They lived out there where some families that used to come to our church. And so my wife, I don't know if my wife and Abby or my wife and Smitty or my wife and someone went out there and visited them. It was three rough boys. And so we got them to come to church one time. They didn't come to church till Vacation Bible School. But they told us about their cousin that lives in the projects. So we went by there and picked up their cousin of projects. He said, hey, I've got a friend. Can he come? I said, he sure can. Hey, the very next day on a Wednesday, hey, the boy from the project come, his friend come, and then say, hey, we got two more boys. Can they come? I said, more the merrier. We filled the church van up. Hey, we had, I believe, 28 people the first night, 21 the second night, 27 the next night. We just filled the church van up. And tonight we have two of them here. Three of them was here this morning. Two of them here tonight. Because they saw someone that's faithful. I'm here tonight because I've seen someone that's been faithful. Well, Preacher Larry was faithful. And Preacher Larry, he'll hear these CDs. He'll get a copy of the CD. He'll hear it on the computer. I want you to know that Preacher Larry was faithful. Boy, he took a lot of time with me. He took me out for breakfast and spent the money for it. He took me out for lunch and spent the money for it. He took me out for supper and spent the money for it. But don't worry, he would call me and say, hey, I'm changing the oil in my truck and my car and my lawnmower. I need your help. So I'd go there and help him. He'd say, hey, I'm going to be out of town. I need someone to cut my grass for me. And I'd run over and cut it. We'd eat it. You know why? Because I saw someone faithful. I want to be like them. When I was growing up, they had a commercial, be like Mike. I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Jesus. Because Jesus is the greatest hero you can have. If we'll just judge ourselves tonight, is my life what it should be for the Lord? I'm taking inventory of my own life and of this church. And I want our church to be the best it can be for God. It might not grow to be a mega church. I told my wife today, I like to have a church, my friend, and just fill the church up and have it like that. The more people you got, the more funerals you're going to have, the more problems you got, the more people you got to visit, the more phone calls you got to make, the more prayers you got to pray, the more cards you got to send, the more everything you got to do. Hey, but God's given us a church that we need to fill up. I just want to be faithful at it. I want to be faithful to my very last day. I'm not talking about starting off right and finishing wrong. I'm talking about starting off right and starting off wide open and finishing wide open and finishing right. Some things we need to judge ourselves in is the way we live. And something else we need to judge ourselves in, I'll just give them to you real quick, the work we do for God. Look here, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifested. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man works a body which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. You know, the Bible says that when you do a good work for God, and you do it with the right motive, and that's for the love of God, that God's going to give you a reward for it. And I believe a reward, and you can have your own opinion about this, I believe our reward and our crowns are different. There's five crowns you can receive. Everybody's going to receive a golden crown. But the Bible says there's rewards that you can do for working for God. I want all the rewards I can get. Notice what it says in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know what I get in my mind's eye? When we get to glory one day, he's going to call out my name. He's going to say, Randy Scott Bass, front and center. I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to see all the crowns. I'm going to see all the rewards. I'm going to see all that I could have had. And he's going to play my life back before my eyes. And as I see my life being played back, I see those rewards being burned up one by one by one by one. I saw what I could have had, but it just shrunk down to nothing. Our work's going to be made manifest one day for the reason we've done it. The reason we've done it. I don't want to brag on anybody else tonight but Jesus. But we got somebody in our church tonight. About 3 or 4 years ago, they brought a load of dirt to the church. I'm talking about someone that wasn't saved then. Went out of the rain and brought a load of dirt to the church and dumped it off back there in one of these holes that we have. The little holes back there in the yard. He brought another load and dumped it off, and brought another load and dumped it off. You know what he said? He said, hey, don't tell no one I've done this. I'm going to just do it for Jesus. I'm talking about Brother John, someone that was lost, someone that was going to die and go to hell if he didn't get saved, but he was still trying to do something for Jesus. Hey, that's a heart we need. We need a heart. Hey, preacher, don't brag on me. Hey, don't condone me. Hey, don't pump me up, but just let me do something for Jesus. Let me just do something for Jesus. I'm talking about the way we live, the way we work, the way we worship. We need to judge how we worship the Lord. Notice what it says here, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. The Bible says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know we worship different. Sometimes I cry. Sometimes I shout. And then sometimes, Brother Pete, we've been in a place where God met with us. And God was real. I believe y'all was there. And I didn't throw my hand up and shout it. I didn't stand up and say amen. But I just got lower and lower and lower in my seat, because as God was being worshipped, I realized how high He was and how low I was. But it's time we start worshiping God. It's time we start letting the bobby pins and our hairs fly back. It's time, my friend, we grab our white handkerchiefs and start waving them in the air because God's worthy. And however God leads you to worship, that's fine by me. If God's in it, go for it. Hey, if God calls you to, God tells you to climb a possum pine, climb it as high as you can. If God tells you to cry, hey, I like it. I liked it this morning when we left out of church and some of the women left with them raccoon eyes. Hey, that black mascara had going to run down their cheeks and run down their face. And they cried because God was real. And they cried because their problems were real. But they cried because they know, hey, out of the eater cometh forth me. And they left this church with high stepping because they knew who God was. If you're going to cry, let it go. But if you're going to shout, let it out. Hey, if you're going to run, run faster than anybody in the world. But we just need to get back to old-fashioned worship. We just need to get back to old-fashioned worship. But if it's throwing a hand up, if it's saying amen, if it's waving your Bible, whatever it may be, however God leads you, but we're going to be judged one day of how we worship the Lord. And I don't want to be a hypocrite when I go to heaven. I don't want to be a meek, quiet, lowly Christian here, and when I get to heaven, run up and down the street of gold, waving my hands and shouting to glory. I don't want to be a hypocrite now, so when I get to heaven, I want to worship now. I want to shout now. I want to praise God now, so when I get to heaven, I know just a little bit about it. Sometimes I'll leave this church, I get just as hoarse as I can be. Boy, can't talk, can't whisper, and I love it. Because I want to get all I can out of this life to get ready for the next life. Some things we ought to judge ourselves in. I believe this is important. Is the way we're going to die. The way we're going to die. What do you mean by that, preacher? Look here, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We should judge ourselves in the way we live, the way we work, the way we worship, and the way we're going to die. Look what it says, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound.